That there is power in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you needed to hear that this morning, but that was a wonderful reminder to me with all that we face in this community, in this world, what we see on the news media. It's good to know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Growing up, we called it wonder-working power. That's full of glory. It's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's good to be here. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way. Let me check again. It is good to be here on this morning as I invite your attention to the 11th chapter of Matthew, where our message from the morning is coming from. The 11th chapter of Matthew is where our message is coming from, really beginning at the 28th verse, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse of the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew, 11th chapter, the 28th verse. Hear the words of our Savior as he speaks to a listening crowd. He says to those who are listening to him, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy," Christ says, "and my burden is light." When you take Christ up on this invitation, you can realize rest even in a restless world. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And as we position ourselves to hear from you, may your word take deep root into our hearts that it might bear fruit for your glory. And all those who find themselves in a restless state might find rest in you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was a young kid, one of my favorite pastimes was to play outside. Now, outside wasn't a video game. It was the place where we played. We enjoyed playing outside, where we were able to indulge in imagination and confrontation, friendly confrontation with games of football and basketball. But can I tell you the truth, Mike, from time to time, even in the summertime, there were some conflicts that would occur on the playground. There were some pressures that would happen when people wouldn't play fair, or really, they wouldn't pick me to be a part of the team. Having one of those moments. But I remember there playing outside. It was a wonderful pastime, Leslie, as a child. But every now and then, there was some chaos that would take place while we were playing outside, some chaos that would take place amongst cousins and friends in the neighborhood as we tried to figure it out. Our grandparents call it the summertime stress. And in those moments of contention outside and the pressures mounting, they would call us in on the inside. And there we were made to sit with the old people and watch soap operas. You're not understanding our pain here as I reminisce to my days where we were pressured on the outside and feeling weariness on the inside. I sat there in my young life as the world turned, knowing that I only had one life to live, becoming young and restless. Restless. As a young child, and that may not relate to you as an adult, but the truth is that you will find yourself from time to time in this life and life experiences in a succession of moments of restlessness, stress, trouble, weight, weariness, toil, so tired to the point that you're tired of being tired. Restless. I know some of you haven't been there, and I'm glad for you, but for the rest of us who remain in here, who can relate to the truth of the text, that sometimes we find ourselves like the people Christ speaks to, who he calls labored and heavy laden, that we find ourselves crumbling under the weight of experiences in this life, and it's brought us to a point of no peace. Yeah. Some of y'all are young and restless. Others need to go to General Hospital because you're old without strength. But he speaks to us in this invitation as he spoke to those in the text. He speaks to us, those who find themselves so burdened down by the world, so without peace, without rest, that you can't even sleep. And when you do sleep, you tear up the sheets in your sleep and you wake up just as tired as you were before you went to sleep. Have you ever been there? I mean, really, under the weight of unrealistic expectations, under the weight of problems and stressors, under the weight of trying to move forward, and every time you try to move forward, you feel like something is always pushing you back. There's an invitation for you in the text. It's an invitation for those who find themselves overwhelmed with burdens. The invitation is to come and be overwhelmed by God's grace. Hear the words of Christ. Come unto me, all who are labored, those who have toiled, those who are heavy laden, feeling the weight that's upon your shoulders. He speaks to those in this context, in the context of which they were living under an oppressive system, even a religious system of standards that some commentators would say are even higher than God, where man placed upon God's word a legal system by which people could never measure up, presenting God in such a way as though God was some merciless judge who only sets up standards to try to judge people and then penalize them as a result of their inability to find it. And here the people are feeling the weight of this oppression, the weight of a system that they can't even find relief in the synagogue, because in the synagogue they're only reminded of their sins and their distance from God. And Christ comes on the scene and says, if you're suffering from the weight of society, the weight and frustration that goes on in life, or even the weight that separates you from God, hear his invitation. If you hear me, he says, come to me. This is an invitation to intimacy, an invitation to reposition yourself from pursuing rewards to pursuing a relationship. Don't miss it. He says, come to me, not all those who have everything worked out already. That's not what his invitation is to. No. Not those who have it made in the shade with a glass of pink lemonade. No, not those. He says, come to me, those of you who are feeling weights that are beyond your capacity to contain. He said, you come to me. I love this invitation because this invitation doesn't ask you to get it right before you come to him. This invitation is not for people to have everything checked, every box checked, every mark met before you come. No, he says, this invitation are for those who haven't gotten it right. This invitation are for those who are feeling like they've been trying to juggle everything by themselves, and the more they try to work on this end, something else on that end falls. And then they run over to that end, and they try to hold it up, and then somebody points out, yeah, you got this up, but you don't have this together. And he says, if that's you, he says, there's good news that you don't have to stay that way. He says, if that's you and you're losing control and you're separated, he says, come to me. Please hear the intimacy in this text, in this invitation, because what he's calling those who are listening in this moment, in their context, he's calling them to close the gap. Come to me. Close the gap between where you are and where I am. Christ says, come to me. And notice, he says, drag yourself to me. If you're heavy laden, and no matter what it takes, you get yourself to where I am. He says, come with your burdens. Come with your baggage. Come with your stress. Come with your problems. Come with your history that you don't want to share with most people. He says, and you can come with all that to me. I don't know if you see it, brothers and sisters, but when you accept this invitation by Christ, you'll understand it's a life-changing invitation where he invites you to get in close proximity with him. Not the social profile proximity where we catch the best photo of ourselves and put it out there so everybody to see. No, Christ says, I want you to come the way you are, and I want you to know that you're welcome to come. I hope you're getting this, because God doesn't want to see his children, his prized creation, dying under the weight of oppression and sin that separates us from him. No, he wants us to hear him cry out to all of us that says, if you can hear his word, the invitation still stands. You can come. Wait a minute, Pastor. I don't have it all together yet. You won't get it together yet. That's why you need to come. Close the gap between you and him. And we know it gets uncomfortable when we get that close, because, you know, truthfully, we don't like to get that close to people, because when you get that close, then that means then they can see your imperfections. They can see your failings. They can see your impurities. They can see that your hair is not all black. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm reminiscing at the dinner table when my daughter came up to me and she got real close and she said, Daddy, you got some white hairs. I said, no, I don't. She said, oh, yeah. Yes, you do. I said, well, go check on your mama. See if she got some. We don't like people getting close, because close means then I'm vulnerable, that you can see the truth of my error and my struggles. And here he's looking at a people and they're trying to juggle everything together. They're trying to keep life in balance, when the truth is everything is really falling apart, but they're just trying to negotiate it so that everybody else don't see it's falling apart. And Jesus says, I'm looking at your misery. I'm looking at your struggle. I'm looking at your pain. And all you got to do is take all of that you can't handle anyway and bring all of that to me. See, this is far from religion, where religion will have you hide and pretend and leave that. No, he's calling you to relationship. He says, come to me. Close the gap. And right now, when you evaluate your own life, there may be some gaps. Some places in your life where you're trying to hold it together, but you know you can't. And in your efforts to hold it together, it's really pushing you further from God, because you're trying to rely on a self-reliance when Christ says, listen, you were never designed to live this life without divine help. Do you hear me? That if you find yourself crumbling under the weight and the weariness of this world, since it's causing you to crumble, why don't you let it push you to your knees and come to him? He says, come to me. Do whatever it takes. But come to me, those who are weary from toil and heavy laden, burdened down within and without, and I will give you rest. Hear me. Do whatever it takes to reposition yourself from trying to get rewards to getting a relationship. I remember Jonathan the other day when I don't know, anybody in here have a cell phone? I know most people don't have those, huh? Anybody have a smartphone? I remember having my smartphone, and my smartphone battery was going out. I remember my son was with me. We were trying to get somewhere, and there we were. My smartphone battery was going out. And so then I looked at someone who was next to me. We were in a big group downtown, and I looked for someone next to me, and I said, can I use your phone? And I used their phone, and I made the call that I knew I needed to make. And Scott, my son, said, Daddy, did you know them? I said, no, son, I didn't know them, but I needed to make a call. And I was going to do whatever it took to make the call that I needed to make. I'm just trying to help you understand something, that Christ, he extends this invitation to people who are stressed and over everything, overburdened, overwhelmed, just overextended by the pressures of life and systems that will never get you closer to where you want to be. And he says to them, do whatever it takes to close the gap and come to me. not only does he invite us to move in proximity closer to him, but if you're going to accept this invitation and realize rest in a restless world, there's a second movement in the text. That movement is to reallocate your resources. See, first it says, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But look at the next text. The 29th verse says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Look at it. This is a movement now to instruction. You move from an invitation to intimacy to a movement of instructions to reallocate your resources. He says, take my yoke upon you. Reallocating your resources for maximum strength and growth is taking the energies that you were using before to try to balance and hold the pressures of life that you knew that you couldn't hold in the first place. He says, take all of that energy, all of that struggle, all of that strength, and use it to connect to me. Do you see it here? Take my yoke upon you. See, in an agrarian society, the culture and context in which this is stated, they understood full well what Christ was saying to them. Because a yoke was an instrument, really a wooden beam that was used to connect two animals to pull a heavy load. Don't miss this. And what Christ says is that you've been trying to maintain a self-made yoke on your own. He says, what I'm calling you to do is to take all the energies, all the strength you have that you tried to muster here and connect to me, and watch how life will be utterly different when you're connected to me than when you're out there by yourself. Take my yoke upon you. It's what Brueggemann calls ruthless trust. It's coming to a point in place where you realize that you got to release some things to take hold of the things of God, so that in walking with God, you realize that God is better able to take care of what you were trying to take care of than you were ever able to take care of on your own. So take my yoke upon you. He's calling us to reallocate our resources. He's calling us to develop and walk within a context of work where we are willing to walk in the timing of Christ. Oh, you got to see it. Because when you're yoked up, that means you're walking at his pace. What Eugene Peterson calls the unscheduled rhythms of grace. It's walking in pace with God. Not trying to run ahead of him and not trying to run behind him, but rather just keeping pace, seeing where God is working and working along with him. He says, take my yoke upon you. Work with me. Work in my purposes. Work in my timing, and work with the assurance that you're working connected to me. Do you understand what this brings? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because as we move to understand and reallocate the resources, he's calling us to use our energies not just to come to him, not just to connect to him, but to learn from him. To learn how life is truly supposed to live. To learn how things are truly supposed to be handled. To learn from Christ himself. His words to all is that when we come to him and we take his yoke, we'll discover some things, that he is gentle and lowly in heart. I love this text. That he's gentle, he is kind, he's accepting, he's not off the handle. Lowly in heart speaks to his humility, his servitude, where he wants to assist those in their times of need. Don't miss this. He says that when you learn from him, you learn, one translation says, how to master your emotions when you follow Christ. You learn how to maintain control when you understand you're connected to a Savior who never loses control. Okay, let me check for a moment. Any Bible readers here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Two people. Okay, we're going to pray for the rest. Yeah, because if you're going to learn from him, you got to learn from his word. And so you got to get in the word of God. But I ask if there are any Bible readers, because I've been reading the Bible for a little while now, Mike, and I've never come across a time where Jesus ever lost control. Have you ever ran across a point where Jesus said, Lord, I don't know what to do? Have you ever run across a time where God just washed his hands and said, you know what, I don't know where to go from here? No, God has always had everything in control. In fact, Jesus is the sustainer of all creation. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. And since he's always had things under control, when you're connected to him, you learn how to live under his control and not lose control. In fact, the telltale sign that we are not living connected to Christ could be when we find ourselves losing control. So he calls us to reallocate the resources that we've wasted in pointless pursuits and use that to pursue him. Use that to learn from him, to learn more of his word, to learn more of his way, to walk in the way of God, to do a divine exchange of our stress for his rest by resting in his word and his promises, to get to a point where we know that no matter what it looks like on the outside, we understand that there's a God who can change any circumstance and make all things work together for good for those who love him and are called by his name. We just stop taking all those stressors and energies and we start putting it in a faith that can grow within our lives, so that now when we're confronted with anything, our faith is held firm because we are firmly connected to the Father through Jesus Christ. We're yoked to him. And so he shows in the movement in this position is that as you reposition yourself from handling things, those who are burdened and heavy laden, and come to the rest, and you are reallocating your resources by taking up his yoke and learning from him, you understand more about him. That he is gentle, that he is kind, that he's not pushing you away, but sometimes he allows pressures so those pressures can force you to come close. Because he loves you so much that he wants you to realize that he is there as your help, but you got to come to him. And when you reallocate your resources to come to him and work within his will, there's a third movement, and that movement brings you to rest. I'm still in text, because he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. But here it is, you will find rest for your souls. This word used for soul is also translated life, that you will find rest for your total being. Verse 30, for my yoke, Christ says, is easy. And my burden is light. See, this rest given by Christ, this rest is really twofold. It's given and it's found. Both in Christ Jesus. Don't miss it. It's given in pardon and reconciliation. Verse 28, where you come to him and now you're in relationship. And it's found as you walk with him, as you take on his yoke and work with him. It's found. It's not found in terms of, here's rest. No. It's walking into discovery that as I walk with God, as I'm walking in step with Christ Jesus, my steps get lighter because he takes on all of the weight that I was trying to hold. And now I'm just along for the ride. That now when I work with him, it's a work of joy. It's a work of peace. I'm enjoying the Christian life because as you walk with him, you'll understand that he is not only walking with you, but he is carrying you. It's being able to rest in his presence and in his responsiveness. It's being able to live continually under the understanding and assurance that God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. It's walking with him to the point that it doesn't matter what's happening around you, that if it looks daunting, you just look to him. Oh, you're not with me just yet. Let me see if I can help you understand this. It's kind of like what the comment that astronaut, or surgeon turned astronaut, Macy Jamerson described when she was talking about weightlessness in space, and the question was asked about anti-gravity training. Listen to what Dr. May Jamerson says. She says, when someone asks about anti-gravity training, she said, that's one of the misconceptions that people have. She said, gravity is everywhere. It's just that we're weightless when we're flying on the shuttle. But gravity is all around you. But in the shuttle, it has no effect on you. Oh, I'm trying to help you understand this. That when you are connected, you are yoked to Christ. It's not that circumstances around you won't try to pull at you. It's not that pressures won't try to break you when you are yoked to Christ. But it's that you won't have to worry about the pressures because you're yoked to Christ. That he will carry them for you. So as 1 Peter says it, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That when you're walking with Christ, you don't have to walk in worry. You don't have to walk in doubt because when Christ has set you free, the Bible says it, whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.